think you know who it is. It is, of course, Mary. Mary, of whom Christ was born, as it says in Matthew 1. So when we think of Mary, what do we think of? What do you know about Mary? You know, we really don't know a whole lot until we hear of her in Luke chapter 1. From what we can see, she's an ordinary Jewish girl. She's probably in her mid-teens. We know she was betrothed to someone. She was betrothed to someone named Joseph. You see, back then, if you were poor, you would only live to maybe your 30s or your 40s. And I'm 45, so I would have been considered ancient back in the first century. My kids right now are thinking, you're already ancient, you're already old. I get that. I lean into that. But back then, I've been really old. And so if you were only living to your 30s or your 40s, well, guess what, teenagers? You'd be looking to be married, even right now. And so Mary is betrothed, young Jewish girl living in Nazareth. Really, she's just an ordinary person. She's someone no one really noticed. She is someone no one would necessarily pay attention to. But then, something extraordinary happens to her. And we just heard about it. An angel, Gabriel, appears to her, and it startles her. And so the angel very quickly has to reassure her. Remember these words from Luke chapter 1. The angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." And he tells her, "For you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And Gabriel goes on to explain to Mary that this Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, that this Jesus is the one who's been promised centuries before, the one who will bring the kingdom of God on earth. You can imagine Mary just hearing all this, just her mind blown. However, there's a big question here. And she says it, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" See, Mary, as we said, she's betrothed, and betrothed was basically, think of like being engaged, but times 10. If you were betrothed in the first century, it was like you were married. You waited a customary period of time, and then you would have the ceremony and consummate the marriage. Mary is thinking, there's still a little while before the ceremony. I'm a long ways from when I'll be with my husband, Joseph. How is this going to happen? How is this possible? Well, the angel Gabriel explains it to her. He tells her, what we're talking about here is a miracle. This is something God's going to do. Here's what Gabriel says to her in verse 35 of Luke 1. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." See, this baby is not going to be born the normal way babies are born. This is something unique, something powerful. The gods, it says, will overshadow her. In other words, God's presence and power is going to be with her in a particularly special way, such that Jesus is formed within her. We call this the virgin birth, of course. And I mean, look, I'm trying to explain it. It's hard to really explain. It's hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? I mean, it seems unbelievable. It seems impossible. And that's why the angel says to Mary, and I think says to all of us, look, for nothing will be impossible with God. Yes, we're talking about the impossible happening because it's the Son of God himself being born. This is something going to be unique, something only God can bring about. So it's amazing, and yet what I want you to do from this moment is just sort of think of this from Mary's perspective at this point. Mary knows what this is about. She's heard from Gabriel, but the people of her village don't know that. Her future husband, Joseph, doesn't know that. Yeah, she can explain it, but they're not likely to believe this. In fact, they're more likely to believe the worst, that she cheated on Joseph. And with that would come just shame. And in a culture with a lot of shame and honor, I mean, to do something like this is considered horrible, terrible. She would fully expect Joseph to break the engagement, to divorce her. And of course, we know that's what he was thinking of doing. When he hears that Mary is pregnant, really the customary thing to do would be to divorce her and to maybe do it publicly. Joseph doesn't want to do that. He wants to do it quietly. Now, of course, we know later on that the angel appears to Joseph and explains, like, here's the truth of what's going on. But for just this moment, just imagine you're Mary in that moment. You don't know all that is about to happen. All you know is that it's likely that Joseph will break the engagement. And even if he does it quietly, the fact is at some point she's going to give birth as a single mom. And think of all that comes with that. She'll be ostracized. She'll be shamed. She'll be cast out. If she's in a particularly religious community, they might actually stone her to death for committing adultery. She's facing a hard life, unfair, really. And yet, a hard and difficult life, not just her, but also the child that she would bear. So when you think about all that, well, then I mean, why would you do this? Why would anyone want to do this? Well, we can't pretend to know all that was going through her mind. Certainly, I think she didn't have all the answers. She was uncertain. We know from other texts that she was pondering a lot of what happened in the days and months to come in her heart, trying to figure it all out. So she didn't have all the answers, and yet, here is Mary's response. Here's what Mary says to Gabriel after hearing all that and knowing what is likely to come to her. She says to Gabriel, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." What you see from Mary is what I'm calling a humble obedience to God. Mary says, "I'm willing to obey the Lord and serve the Lord by carrying this child." So the question I ask when I read this is, how is that possible? How can you have such full obedience to God? Well, I think it's because she trusted God. She trusted the Lord. I mean, you only obey someone that you trust, right? If you trust someone, you're willing to put your life in their hands. You're willing to let your choices and your decisions rest in their hands. You're only willing to do that with people that you trust. Think of a good parent, a good coach, good teacher. Those are authority figures that often we're called upon to obey. You obey them when you trust them. You really obey them when you trust them. Mary trusted God, trusted what God was doing with her. And because she trusted God, she was obedient to what God called her to do. She was fully obedient. Trust God and then obey him because you trust him. That's the invitation I want to give to all of you who are here tonight, those of you who are watching. Trust God and obey him because you can trust him. And the thing that I want you to know, though, is I'm not asking you to put a blind trust and obedience in God. I'm not asking you just to sort of just do it just because I'm telling you to do that. I mean, trust and obey God because of the God that you're trusting and obeying. You see, Mary believed some things about God. I think it's because of the things she believed about God. That's why she trusted him and then obeyed him so fully. And so let Mary be our guide. I want you to trust and obey the God that Mary trusted and obeyed. And who is this God that she trusted and obeyed? Well, here's the God of Mary, that I think is worth us fully trusting and obeying. Here's what Mary says about him a little bit later on in Luke. She's visiting a relative, and we have a section in Luke that's called Mary's Song. And it gives us some of the deepest insight into what Mary really felt about the Lord. Why, I think, she is able to trust and obey him. Here's what she says. Here's the God to trust and obey. He is a God who is mighty and has done great things. Holy is his name. Trust and obey God because he's a God who does impossible things. Because he is powerful and acts. Trust and obey God because he's holy. That means he is set apart. He has a standard that's higher than our standard, but is better than our standard. Trust and obey God because, as Mary says, he has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty and exalted the humble. Trust and obey God because this is a God who's not dazzled by the things our world is dazzled by. He's a God who notices the people most people don't notice. Who's not following the top charts. He's not concerned about who has the most attention or power. Trust and obey this God because he notices the humble. Trust and obey a God who has filled, Mary says, the hungry with good things. Trust a God who especially has compassion for those who are lacking. Trust and obey God who remembers, who helps his people, Mary says, in remembrance of his mercy. So trust and obey the God of Mary, because this is a God who doesn't treat us like we deserve, but instead is merciful, who's generous with his mercy and his grace and his love, and notices us and remembers us and moves towards us in mercy and grace and love. This is the God I invite you tonight. I call you, I beg of you to listen to trust, to obey. And one thing more, to listen to him, to trust him and obey him, because I would argue he's already shown that he's a God worthy of putting your life in his hands, because he sent Jesus. You see, Jesus is I would say, the proof that this is the God that Mary talked about. That all the things I just described shows that this is who he is because he sent Jesus. Think about Jesus. Jesus is the proof that God is mighty and does great things. Here is a mighty act of God, and the mighty things Jesus did shows that this is the God that we have, that he is holy, that in Jesus we find a standard that is higher than our standard, but it is good and right, and he calls us to it. Trust and obey God because Jesus shows he is a God who scatters the proud, who brings down the mighty. He's a God who notices the humble. Think of the life of Jesus and how often he moved towards those who most people would notice, overlook, the humble and the meek. Trust and obey God because Jesus shows he is a God who fills the hungry with good things. Trust and obey God because Jesus shows he's a God who remembers us in mercy. Jesus comes because we have a merciful God, a God who looked down on our world and could have dismissed us because of all our pain and problems, because of our sin, because we don't trust and obey him. And yet, Jesus shows he's a God who still offers mercy and grace towards us. Jesus shows that God is for real, that he is all these things. And because of that, that's a God I invite you to follow tonight. This is a God I invite you to step closer to in trust and obedience. It's the God of Mary. In saying that, I want to be very clear. If you're going to trust and obey God, it means moving into difficult spaces. To trust and obey God, to put your life in his hands, to say, you know what, I'm going to give my choices and my decisions into your hands and obey you because I trust you. To do that means moving into a future that sometimes can be uncertain. It means moving in directions that can and will be hard, like Mary. And yet, I would say you should still do it. Still do it, again, because of the God you are trusting and obeying. A God who is mighty and holy. A God who notices the humble and is compassionate to those who are lacking. A God who is, praise God, gracious and merciful. Trust and obey God because he has shown himself trustworthy in Jesus. Trust and obey God in Jesus like Mary did. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank you for who you are and for what you've done. And it's because of who you are and what you've done that we can talk about trusting and obeying you. Lord, thank you for this last example of Mary, of someone who was called to do hard things and to move into difficult and uncertain spaces, yet did so with full obedience because of who she believed you to be. And Lord God, I believe you are that same God. The God of Mary in the first century is the God of 2020. That same God invites each and every one of us to trust and obey him. And he's brought to us Jesus as the way to move towards him. Lord, I pray for anyone who would utter even the smallest prayer a prayer of, God, I trust you and I want to obey you because of Jesus, that you would answer that prayer and you would show yourself like you showed Mary, that, Lord, you do follow through. Mary trusted and obeyed you, and she saw you be the God she believed you to be. Mighty, holy, a God who's compassionate, gracious, and merciful. And so, Lord God, for anyone here who would pray that, Lord, even tonight, show yourself to be that God. Show yourself especially to be that God in Jesus, who is God with us, God in front of us, God in us. And I pray that all of us, Lord God, would continue to follow the path that Mary sets before us. Lord, may all of us show the same trust and obedience that Mary did. In the spaces, Lord, where we lack, Lord, help us to be willing to put that back into your hands. In the spaces, Lord God, where we limit ourselves, Lord, help us to put that back in your hands and to see the hands that are there and to know we are in a good place. Grow us in trust in you. Grow us in obedience in you. Grow us because of who you are, because of who Jesus is. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.